Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
What?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Well, 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 we've got a coach on this gay-ass podcast, Coach Kevin Martin. He's a gay sex coach, a writer, and yes, a creator who I have seen perform on the internet, and I say tens, tens, tens across the board. Coach Kevin Martin, how the hell are you?
I am so good. I am so excited. How are you? I always love to ask.
I'm actually quite good. I've talked about on the pod how I've had like all these struggles and difficulties, and I have to say, Coach Kevin Martin, I'm feeling myself come through the other side, and I'm like in like a horny era. My birthday's in a few days. I'm like feeling optimism, Kevin, and we love to see it. So thank you for asking.
You are so welcome. The stars are aligning. It's your renaissance.
Oh my God. Speaking of, I'm tomorrow morning for the podcast interviewing this like celebrity astrologer, and she's reading my full chart, and I'm ready to weep. I'm ready to be gutted like a fish.
Amazing. Amazing. Perfect timing.
Now, you, Kevin Martin, have a lot of things I want to unpack, especially because you work with a lot of gay men in their intimacy. You talk about open relationships. You also, of course, again, are a creator. In fact, you have on one of your profiles, you say gay men deserve shameless sex plus unapologetic pleasure. For my first hard-hitting question, Kevin, have you had any unapologetic pleasure recently? And if so, what twas?
Ooh, yes, I have. In a non-sexual way, I fucking love sour candy. Like, it is my, like, guiltiest pleasure. Just tantalizing beyond means. So I treated myself at the grocery store, because I fucking hate groceries, to a bag of candy when I was there. So that brought me a lot of pleasure. But sexually, this past weekend, I had a trip with my partner, and we just had some like 3 or 4 days of just together with the both of us. And so it was just so genuine and heart-filled and heart-centered of just time without purpose, just play. It was beautiful.
That's divine. Are you the type of person that feels that vacation sex is better than real life sex?
I like that it's different. Like, I like that it holds a different energy, because like you even show up there's different environments, there's different factors, like different people you're around. Like, vacation you is a different you than like 9-to-5 you.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's cool to experience how sex can be different in either setting, either scenario.
Yeah, some people get to a hotel, and the second that they like sit on the bed, their legs are up. And I like the idea of that. I don't know if it's because we've been married for so long, but I'm not like a hotel hole immediately. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a time and a place for good hotel sex, but like,
right?
I don't know. I'd rather like go out and get like a great bite.
Same. I would love to do both. Like, I would love to get railed. Let's rail each other, and let's go get coffee at this cool coffee shop.
Oh yeah, no, that's a perfect trip. That's a perfect trip. You do talk so much about sex, and I love to have horny conversations. So sometimes on this bonus episode series, I ask about the term slut. If we look at the word slut with a positive connotation, something we celebrate, would you call yourself a slut, Coach?
I would say I'm not slutty enough, to be totally honest. I definitely could be sluttier, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of my sluttiness.
What do you think is holding you back?
Ooh. Okay. So to be like totally honest, like there is this kind of interesting dichotomy I feel as like somebody who creates content and then being Kevin as well. And like the type of content that I create is very mindful. It's very wholesome. It's very wholehearted.
Yeah.
Which is very necessary, and I love that lane and that field. But one of the, everything has pros and cons. One of the challenges of that is that I do think it's hard for me to be completely slutty because it is very, it's very purposeful in its place. And not that like being like super slutty can't be, it's just, they kind of feel like different worlds a little bit.
No, it makes total sense. In fact, part of the reason I am glad you said that is it came up with me in a therapy session where the therapist was like, you know what, you talk about sex a lot in your work, and it actually might be like pushing certain validation buttons that make you think that you don't need it outside of that. And I'm like, oh shit, that's actually kind of spot on. You actually wrote something that I loved. You said, it's a strange paradox being a sexual empowerment coach and content creator. I talk about sex all day long, yet there are plenty of days I don't feel sexual at all. I can be creating content, even getting off, but still feel disconnected from myself. Now, we're going to wait till the paywall goes up for me to get into the real nitty-gritty of what gets you off, what makes you splooge. However, you do have other writings about shame, and a lot of your work is about getting people to release their shame. Your religious upbringing was a part of your shame. So give us the deets, Kevin. What was the religion? And then follow up, if you can tell me if your first boy-boy kiss has something to do with that religion, or did you wait till you got out of there?
Ooh, yeah, so good. So I grew up Lutheran in rural Northwest Ohio.
As a Jew, I don't know, like, what's the stereotype of Lutheran?
Think of, like, Catholics.
Uh-huh.
But like not as strict.
Oh, okay. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lutherans, at least in our neck of the woods, we were the ones who like, we'd go to church every Sunday, but we'd be partying our asses off Friday and Saturday night.
Okay.
Doing all the sins Friday and Saturday. and then Sunday being like, yeah, that never happened. And now I'm clean again. And
sure.
I'm
fine. Do Lutherans confess to a priest?
Not in the formal way that Catholics do, but we will like confess our sins to ourselves all together.
Sure.
And so like it's always it cracks me up thinking about it, but like it's always the very first part of the church service, so it kind of is like people are rushing to get to church, so that way within the first 5 minutes they can confess their sins, and then people start like gradually leaving. So it's like as long as I say to myself in my head that
what I did like, wrong.
Yeah, I did this bad thing that I'm going to do again later today, but like, I'm at least good now. So if I died now, I'll be fine.
Wow. Cool. What a bummer. What a bummer that the entire idea is that, hey, as long as you admit that you are going to burn in hell for all of the bad things you do, you at least won't be burning for a few minutes until you do it again. God, that's like, no wonder you had so much shame. Like, that'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was always kind of a moving target as to what the bad things were, you know. And so I was like, if I cuss, is that fire worthy? Is that hell worthy? You know, or if I, you know, look at porn, or if I look at like my mom's textbooks to see what a penis looks like, am I going to go to hell for this? Mm. So I would just err on the side of caution and take like 15, 20, 30 minute prayers, just listing every negative thing I could think that I did just to be safe. It's fascinating.
It really is. I just, I like got a vision of you as like a 13-year-old, just like praying that you're not going to burn in hell. And I Jews have obviously a lot of guilt just because we have mothers, but I think that I don't envy the Lutherans, the Catholics, when my husband went to a Catholic school, and he does not say that they were like, he would not want me to say like it was all horrible, because I'm sure he had a lot of great experiences. But some of the things I've heard, I'm like, you know, that's tough. Did you have your first boy moment in Ohio, or did you wait to escape?
It was in Ohio, but it was in college. So I went to the church that we grew up in until like late high school. And I try to be very cautious of how I talk about it, because like I am super, super grateful for the way I was raised.
Yeah.
Like, I love the values that I have. I'm very grateful of growing up in that aspect of love and kindness and treating people well, you know. but 100% there are drawbacks and a lot of difficulties. But like after we moved on from that church, just cause like political church stuff that, you know, happens, we ended up going to like a super, super fundamentalist, like mega church. And that's where a lot of the extra shame happened. But once I left that and then I was in college, I met the first boy that I kissed. He was also, it was a Friday night, in like winter time. I didn't know how to kiss, so I just, I don't know, like that, I don't know. And then we tried dating for like a month, and then he left me to return to the church. So I think I converted him back into religion.
Wow. That kiss wasn't that bad. Yeah. Did you do any more than kissing during that month that you dated?
We did. So being a farmer, I had a truck at the time. And so I took him to my truck, and we hooked up in the backseat of my truck.
Okay, well,
it was pretty hot.
That is hot. Did you do full home run, or was it mouth stuff, hand stuff? What's going on?
Mouth stuff, hand stuff. I think physiologically, it was difficult for us to do anything more than that. Just like position wise, like it was hard for somebody to get their ass up in the air in the size of my truck.
So wait, and like,
on each other.
And the back of the truck is like a small, like you're talking like the back seat.
Yeah, the back seat. Yeah, that's maybe like 5 or 6 inches.
Wow. I mean, listen, sometimes the magic comes when you have to work under the duress of constraints, and that is beautiful. I didn't know you had the farm background too, because for anybody who's listening, you're not seeing, Kevin is wearing this gorgeous sheer blouse. Does it say Princess?
Princess Di. It's from Mayhem. At the Mayhem Ball, yeah.
Yeah, you are a Gaga girl. I've seen it on some of your socials. You're little monster?
Monster, yeah.
Jesus, yeah. I'm going to get canceled for not immediately being able to say that. Jesus Christ. Well, whatever. It's a safe space. Do you want people calling you Coach or Kevin or both? What feels better to you?
I like both. And I will say that I have been getting into more so like the sexual side of like being called Coach.
I'm telling
like,
you, there's something so hot about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I'm starting to play into it a little bit more. Like a hookup I had, recently, like he knows of my work and he called me Coach in the middle of it. And I was like, whoa, that unlocked something within me. I was like, okay.
I'm sure it does. But yeah, that's also what I really love about following you. And I think it's so exciting that you're here, is that it's rare to have someone be both a therapeutic coach in a way of helping people release shame, but also getting to actually see said coach jerk off on camera is like very, very hot. And you're really practicing what you preach, pardon the religious overtone. But I do want to get into some questions about that, since I think we're going to, I'll do one more before we go paywall. Final question before we go really, really horny. You coach people through opening their relationships. Coach, tell me, what would you say is the most common obstacle that couples face when they first open, or just when they're trying to like create a healthy, open relationship atmosphere?
Yeah. There's two ones that come to mind. Like the very first one is like getting over the fear of even having that conversation. So a lot of times I will get messages from one partner within a two-person relationship, and they're like, hey, I really want to open my relationship. Like, I've been thinking about this for years, but I have no clue how to have that conversation, or I'm so scared of what my partner will say, or like, I don't want to lose what we have, or I know his story and all of his, trauma. I don't want to re-traumatize him. So a lot of the work is like, okay, how do we walk that line of respecting your needs, respecting, his experiences, and of respecting the relationship to honor that with honesty and transparency. So that's where I see a lot of it. And then the other side is navigating the jealousy once it starts to happen. And this is a big part of my personal experience, but like hypothetically we can be turned on by so many things, like, oh, it'd be so hot to be in an open relationship or have my partner do this. Like, yeah, I would love for them to do that. But then once it starts to happen, like our feelings can be so, so different on it. And we can often surprise ourselves on how we feel. So a lot of the work is navigating through just the complexity, the layeredness of that side.
It makes a lot of sense. I think that part of the beauty of therapy, but it's also the difficulty, is that it forces you to confront a lot of your own inner demons. And then you have to see how that plays a role in your relationships and how you treat your work and your friendships and la-da-da-da-da. And that's partly why I think I'm in this chapter of a bit of levity, because I had to go through a whole bunch of shit in the past month or two that was like reminders of like where I feel bad about myself, where I have a scarcity mindset. Like there's so much reckoning you have to do. And I think that once you do get to the other side, that's when like the hot openness can be, or just the like freedom can be. And so I think it makes a lot of sense. But since we're going to now get to the true personal questions, you've said that you've been in open relationships. Tell me, are you currently in an open relationship?
I am, yes. So I am in both a polyamorous relationship that is also open. So we're walking multiple levels.
Love here. That. So you, that means that you are dating multiple people. Pardon the like maybe elementary question, but do you have like a primary partner, or would you say that both are sort of both your primaries just separate?
For our situation, if we think of like a V, have you heard of that analogy where like one person is the hinge?
Yes.
First has multiple, but then the people at the end of the V are only dating that person.
Yes.
So I'm one of the ends. So my boyfriend has multiple partners, but I consider him to be my only partner. And within our dynamic of the two of us, we are open, so we can play with other people.
I gotcha. So you have that. So the hinge is your part, your boyfriend, and then you're also dating other people outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hot, hot, hot. Have you had any great? I don't know what to do. I have so many like horny questions for you. Oh, here. Let me go specific. You had a recent shoot with Prince of Edging, and you actually wrote a great Substack article about it. But I want to ask you for this episode: Did you enjoy getting edged by Prince of Edging? Is question number one.
I had an incredible time. And like,
for the rest of this interview, head to Substack linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing. And you should go check it out at substack.com/@Eric Wills linked in the description. I love you. Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.